ready to get serious about building content sites and building a profitable business online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online asset. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. Let's do this. This episode is brought to you by Niche Website Builders, an agency dedicated to helping people just like you build profitable content sites. Niche Website Builders are the hands-off content site marketing agency you always wished existed. It's run by content site marketers for content site marketers, and they help both investors and individuals alike build profitable online properties. They provide a fully outsourced approach to content creation, link building, and done-for-you website builds, the same approach they use on their own six-figure portfolios. For example, their content packages come with a proprietary keyword research process, are written by in-house native English speakers, formatted using templates proven to convert, and uploaded to WordPress with affiliate links added so that all you need to do is hit the publish button. Check them out at nichewebsite.builders/show. That's nichewebsite.builders/show and fill out the form to get coupon codes for 10% more content or a 10% discount on links with your first order sent right to your inbox.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Niche Website Builder podcast and YouTube channel. We don't have a guest this week. It's just me and Mark who are going to interview each other. Change it up a little bit, something different for you. So we're going to talk this week a little bit about what we're currently doing, both me and Mark, on a personal level. So what we, our approach to website investing is slightly different. I'm more of a buy, improve, and flip kind of guy, and Mark's more of a buy and invest for the long term, for the cash flow kind of guy. So we're just going to cover that. We're also going to talk a lot about FAQs and question-based content. We've been doing lots of internal testing around that, and we're seeing some really good results. So we just want to talk to you about that. And then we'll finish up then with some exciting news about a new service that we're going to offer, which is all about the question-based stuff. So lots to cover today. Mark, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. First question, though, what the hell is that T-shirt you're wearing?
It's my Joe Exotic T-shirt. It's my Lucky Tiger T-shirt with Joe. I'm repping for him to get out of prison. This is one of many. I have one with Louis Theroux on the front, and I've got one with Gail Weather from Coronation Street on the front as well. me and Jess were literally just scrolling through Facebook a couple of weeks back, and she saw a Mr. Blobby t-shirt, which led us down this rabbit hole of looking for all these crazy cool looking t-shirts, and we ended up spending a fortune on some guy's Shopify store. We just clearly just printed them on plain t-shirts and sending them out.
Well, what a treat for future episodes. I think, you know, I think our US audience is going to be googling like Mr. Blobby and you know, Coronation Street now, because they have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah
cool, okay, so yeah, great stuff. So we're gonna start off with like just just some insight, I guess, into what you and I are kind of doing ourselves for our own portfolios before we start talking more about FAQ. So, yeah, what are you up to at the moment?
Yeah, so I've got like my staple part of the portfolio, which is just my cash flow generating section of the portfolio. These are the kind of sites that I want to keep long term. I always flitter between, do I want to sell them? And I'm always, literally every month, I add up the revenue and I've got a revenue tracker, and I'm always looking at what the last 6 and 3 and 9 months average were. And I look at how much they're worth, and I'm always like, do I want to sell this? It's nice cash there. But I typically don't. I keep those sites. But what I've been doing more and more of recently, as time allows, because obviously we're quite busy with the agency stuff, but is buying sites that are under-monetized, either under-monetized or undervalued, or both if I can. There's a lot of manual outreach, literally trawling through, you know, Ahrefs top 1 million or Majestic's top 1 million sites, and looking specifically for sites that are old, outdated, haven't been touched in a long time. you know, maybe just monetized with AdSense, but they're getting hundreds of thousands of visitors per month. And I'm outreaching to those guys, trying to see if I can buy. So I managed to secure one recently, which has been great. I literally bought it in January, and I'm just about to close on the sale now. So that was very nice. Pick it up, improve the revenue by doing quick wins, very quick wins, and then trying to find buyers then who are willing to buy on a forward-looking multiple based on, you know, they can see the potential. There's still lots of stuff that can be fixed on the site and changed on the site, but they can also see that I've made these quick wins and revenue's increased 20, 30, 40%, and they're willing to buy on those kind of multiples. So that's what I've been doing more and more of. And yeah, I love that space. It's quick, it's in and out. I feel like I'm turning over my cash often, which suits my personality. I hate just having money sitting there and kind of not doing anything with. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. What about you? What are you're totally different.
Yeah, so you're managing to get higher multiples, you know, based on just like 1 or 2 months revenue at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's obviously trying to buy right. And one issue that I'm coming up against when I'm reaching out to these site owners, because they're not in selling mode, you know, they're not considering selling, and they get an email out of the blue asking if they want to sell. The valuation that they put on the site typically is a lot higher than, you know, what it's actually worth. You know, these people are trying to sell sites. One guy was trying to sell a site at over 100x multiple, which, you know, it's just not doable for an investor. But you can find them. So I bought the site. The site that we were talking about now was bought at a 37x multiple, and I've just sold it at a 50x multiple.
Yeah. So I guess that was more meaning, you managed to sell it at 50. That's good. I mean, I guess that's more meaning that you're growing revenue in a short period of time. So you're growing revenue in like, you know, just over a 2 month period, but then people you're finding people that are willing to buy at that higher rate, even though there's not the history.
Yeah. Well, I think you've got to take a look at the site as a whole, right? So these type of sites that I'm talking about, they've been around for, you know, 10 years. You know, they've been around for a long time. They've weathered many Google updates. There's been very little fluctuation in the traffic. They haven't had big spikes up and down. So I think I'm trying to find people who appreciate that, who appreciate that these sites have been around for a long time. They've been stable for a long time. The content typically is very good. It's usually written, you know, by someone who's passionate about the niche, and that's probably one of the reasons why it's under monetized or hasn't been updated in a while. You know, they did all this work 5-6 years ago, and then they just kind of stopped looking at it, stopped updating it, didn't monetize it, and they don't really realize what kind of asset they have on their hands, essentially. The buyers that when I try and put this together for a potential buyer, I'm trying to bake all of that in. I'm trying to get them to understand that they're not, I know we don't sell sites on potential, but they are essentially buying on that future potential. One, that it's going to continue to stay steady, and two, that they see the rest of the quick wins that I've seen but haven't yet implemented. So when I pulled together a document, like when I was selling this site, the document actually included what the quick wins were. So for example, 10% of the traffic comes from the US, but there's no US monetization on there. There's no display ads on there. And I pulled together a spreadsheet of what I think the revenue could be based on a $10 CPM or RPM, which is quite low. So they can instantly see, you know, if they add US monetization, they're going to add a 10% increase in revenue. If they turn on display ads, they're going to add another couple of $100 a month in revenue. And I almost make it too easy for them to see that if they do all this, then, you know, it justifies the valuation. I just don't have time to do it myself.
Yeah. Cool. Excellent. So yeah, in terms of
but you're different, right?
I'm different. Yeah, just yeah, like, so I'm different in that, I guess. So yeah, I mean, I think I over egg it. Like the thought of like selling and like the handling of the buyer and like transferring the site and kind of doing all that, I just like, gives me a headache thinking about it. Like, I'd rather, I feel like that prevents me from selling sometimes. And it's not actually that bad. It's never that bad, but it's just, I think it's the thought of it. I think I probably just haven't done enough of them to like, for it to become like just second nature. But like, the main thing that I'm doing, look, I've got a slightly different mindset now to what I was doing before. So I've always looked to hold longer, especially longer than you, and that's like the couple of months kind of flip. So I'm looking for it. I'm looking for the right time to sell, but I'm trying to grow a site, you know, over a longer period of time, but I'm just finding the right time. So I've still got that flip kind of mentality. I want to find choose the right time to sell. But I guess what I'm trying to do now, right now, is I'm working on some sites where I just want to maintain like a foundation of like cash flow. So it's one of the sites that I plan to hold for a very long time, which are just constantly money that's coming in, the cash flow wise, not even thinking about selling them at any point in the future, at the same time as continuing the flipping model. So, you know, I've always got this money coming in, like that's just long-term as a baseline. And then I'm still doing all the flips on top, which, you know, obviously is going to, you know, be better overall in terms of just the money that's coming in. So,
the quick question you mentioned there, you're waiting for the right time to sell. How do you know when that is? Because I mean, it's easy to think, you know, I'm waiting for the right time. Revenue's going up and up, and you know, when revenue starts going down, and then you're trying to sell a site that's on a downward trend, it's a lot harder to sell a site on a downward trend than it is on an upward trend. How are you thinking about when is that right time?
It's a bit of a finger in the air. I mean, obviously, like you say, you want to be sending on an upward trend. So I'm never not working on a site. I don't ever, all of my sites, I don't really let sit and just sit for a long period of time. So I'm always working on them. They're always getting new content. They're always getting backlinks. So, you know, sometimes they do seem to plateau for a period of time. And sometimes, you know, they'll even seem to be trending down a bit. But over time, you'll get an update, which means then you get a quick jump, or it'll just start trending back upwards, like because you've got more content and more links coming in. So like, I would definitely probably look for when it's just started to take one of those turns. But I'm kind of holding for a long time. Like all the sites I do have, they're because I don't have this baseline of sites where I've got this baseline income, they all pay the money that's coming in from those are paying, you know, I don't put any new money in. They I reinvest the money that I earn from those sites into new stuff. So they kind of are my cash flow, but that's not what I've got in my head. Like they are, I'm looking to sell them in, you know, the next year or two, you know, but I think that's the change. Well, I have like this base of sites that which become the cash flow, which become maybe the investment mechanism for the sites and for new sites and things like that. But you know, I'll still be doing the same as what I'm doing now, but I'll just have these other sites that are just a constant revenue stream. So yeah, I've got like three sites that I've started at the moment. I don't know if it'll be more than that, maybe if the right opportunity comes along, but there's a couple I've bought on expired domains. So one I bought an expired domain. It was actually a failed Kickstarter project in the niche that I'm working in. So it's kind of had some good kind of news type sites, like kind of high authority kind of news sites, but obviously the articles that they're writing on those news sites are very topical in terms of what the Kickstarter project was and now what the niche is. And on all of these sites are kind of informational sites that I'm building. None of them are affiliate. So I just feel like that's kind of less risky. You know, we saw that even a pandemic couldn't really do much to damage ad revenue over time. So I'm figuring I'm just going to try and build a bunch of, so all these sites are going to just be mostly ad revenue kind of sites. So just by luck as well, a site came up on Niche Website Flippers, which is a site which was in the niche, the same niche. So I've put in a very short period of time of around 6 to 8 weeks, I put on about 175 posts. They're quite short posts. They're only about 1,000 words each because that's all they needed to be. That's, you know, what the competition were doing for ranking. It's not particularly competitive. But I put 175 posts in. The traffic was trending up nicely. It got to about 1,000 sessions. But then a site came along that had 28 posts and was getting about 4,500 sessions. It was about 2 years old. Had basically no backlinks, which kind of gave me more confidence in the niche that actually, you know, you can prove, you can rank pretty well with a minimal number of posts. And so I bought that site. It didn't cost very much because there was no monetization really. Redirect 301 all the posts from that site into the new one, which now I've got a combined traffic of around 7,000 sessions a month between the two. My old site, new site, but it's just continually trending upwards because all of those 175 posts that I've got are out aging, and I'm going to continue to build on that. But I expect if I was to leave it where it was, I'm hoping that I'd quite comfortably get up to 40,000-50,000 sessions a month just with what I got from what I've seen from the competitors. Maybe even more. Maybe even up to 100,000. You just have to see how it goes. But I'm going to continue. I feel like really good about that one. I'm going to continue to add more and more posts. There's like almost not unlimited scope, but a lot of scope for more posts on that site. Yeah. I've also bought a second.
Just a technical question there, Mark. How did you handle the redirects? Did you just use a plugin and redirect each page? And did you move all of the pages over? Or did you just move some of them over?
So I used I just edited the htaccess file just because it's quicker than using a plugin. Not quicker in terms of implementation, but quicker in terms of the redirect speed.
Yeah.
So that's generally the way I do it. I redirected all of the pages, but not the homepage. So all of the blog posts, so the 28 blog posts, but not the homepage. The homepage, you got to be a little bit wary anyway when redirecting homepages in general. I mean, this one wasn't so much of a problem because it had like next to no backlinks. The backlinks it did have were just a few spammy organic ones that have been picked up over time, which I'm sure Google, like blatantly ones that Google would probably recognize as spam. So I haven't bothered disavowing anything yet. I could do, but I didn't redirect the homepage because it was getting no traffic as well. So I figured there's no point.
What about category pages and things like that? Did you redirect those or did you just leave them as they were?
I haven't redirected them. No. I should probably look at that. I haven't looked at what the kind of traffic they were getting, but no, I hadn't redirected them. I just put them into, you know, the categories that I've got on the new site. Yeah, obviously the other reason you got to be wary when redirecting a homepage potentially is the anchor text ratio. So if you've got a site with a lot of branded anchor onto the homepage, and you've got you're redirecting it into a site that hasn't got a lot of branded anchor or has got less branded anchor, you could throw like all of that out, and you know we've seen issues with that before. So there are reasons for. I mean, it wasn't the case in this case. Like, I had plenty of branded anchor on the expired domain that I've got, which could have taken the hit. But again, it was getting no traffic. It was almost like it just didn't seem much value in doing it. No links, no traffic. But what I did do was I left the existing site in place as well, so it's just kind of sitting there as a shell at the moment. And then I've got bought another expired domain, which I'm just building out the site for at the moment, which is just another, which is more in, I assume like a beverages kind of niche. And so that I'll just see how that goes. The other ones I'm working on at the moment, which is quite interesting, is that I started it October 2018. So what is it, 2.5 years ago nearly? And I hadn't touched it for ages. So I put around 25 posts on it and just left it and then looked at the analytics and just over time, it's just continually trended upwards. So it's not like it just it's a brand new domain. It's not like it just went straight up and then was flatlining for 2 years. It's literally been on an upward trend very slowly for 2 years to like 1,000 sessions. And so I figured, you know, actually it's looking quite healthy now. I started to get a few sales through from it. The products are it's all pretty much, it's 50-50 affiliate and info content at the moment, but the products are quite high value, so it's quite a good commission when they do come through. I'm going to, again, just utilize that now. It's aged, it's 2 years old. I'm going to go the info content route with that and just start building more info content on that site. That's in one of the home niches. And just keep, the plan is to add like a couple of hundred info posts and see how they go as well.
Yeah, I love that site because you just messaged me one night and was like, look at this. I forgot about this site. I've done this 2 years ago. And look at this graph.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just caught up.
I know. Like it was weird. It was just trending. You continually to move. Yeah. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how often that happens. You know, if you just put some posts on the site. And it was weird. I found it weird that it just was still trending up even today, 2.5 years later, when I hadn't updated any posts. I hadn't even updated plugins or anything. You know, it was just sitting there. So, yeah, very strange. But yeah,
just it seems like... the website, basically.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the way to do it. Just set up a load and 2 years later, you can go and make
use of it. Come back in 2 years' time and see what's happening.
Yeah. Awesome. So I think it's enough of us. So today, I guess, we're going to talk a little bit about FAQs and why we should give a FAQ about FAQs. So, yeah.
That's the worst dad joke ever.
I'm a dad of three. What can I say? You know? But why should we give a FAQ, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this is something which I've been looking into over the last couple of months and testing quite a bit on our own sites, and we've started beta testing with some client stuff now. So we basically we stumbled upon this idea by looking at something else. So we've been testing this a couple of different tools, and one of the tools we tested allows you to run your content through Google's NLP algorithm. So it's the natural processing language algorithm. And they'd also built their own NLP algorithm, which is more aggressive. So Google only spits out the entities they think your content is about if they're sure it's about that. But these guys had also built their own version, which uses Wikipedia. So all of the entities are Wikipedia pages. And they're a lot less aggressive. So they'll spit out entities, even if they think it's closely matched, not 100%. So when we were doing this, what we noticed was this is great for basically understanding what Google thinks a piece of content is about, because you can run your piece of content through there, it spits out the entities, and the entities are literally just, you know, what a single word or two words topics on what they think that page is about. And that's great because you can kind of see if you're hitting the mark. Are you covering anything? You can compare that to your competitors' entities and see, you know, are there glaring gaps that you need to cover? But obviously, because we're a content company, that's not really actionable. You can't just give a list of single word topics to your team and say, go and create content, because it just doesn't work like that. So we tried to figure out, how do we turn those entities into something useful? And what we came up with, having done some research, is questions. Can we turn those entities into questions? And how do we find kind of seed questions, key questions, and also the sub questions that Google is expecting? So we did all this research and we basically come up with a method for using these entities to mine the people also asked box on Google. And what that does is gives you a list of primary questions, and then you can go a level deeper. So you've got your list of primary questions. You can then go and mine the sub questions for each primary question. And in doing so, you basically cover the entity that Google's expecting, but in a friendly question-based format. So that's kind of like the premises of what we've been doing. And I don't know if that answers why you should give a FAQ, but that kind of is like an introduction on how we got to this point and like where this whole journey started for us.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess we can start talking about why we should give a FAQ. How many times can we get that joke into this episode, I think is the point. But
too many.
So what does it mean for the featured snippet then? That's one reason to give a FAQ, right? Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. So what does this mean when you're making content? So there are three main benefits of creating content this way that we find. One is because we're taking the questions from the people also asked box. We know that if you Google those questions individually, at least 80% of the time there's a featured snippet at the top. So if we write a concise answer and answer those questions in a good way that Google is expecting, and we can kind of brief the team on that, because we can see what the little featured, the little snippet is in the people also ask box, and what words are bolded and what we need to include. So if we answer the question correctly in the format that Google wants, 80% of these questions, there's a very good chance of us winning featured snippets for. And we all know that featured snippets are a, you know, a coveted position on the search, on the SERPs. They're a good thing to have. You can get your piece of content to position 9. And as long as you're on page 1, there's a good chance you can win a featured snippet. So, you know, you can leapfrog from position 9 straight to number 0 if you're able to answer these featured snippets. The second benefit is, when we cover all of these topics, we know that these are topics that Google are expecting you to cover in order to show you're an authority. Because the, you know, if you put your seed keyword into the tool and it spits out all of these questions are what Google thinks are either hyper-related or people then go on to search for next. So it's almost like, okay, well, I'm going to look at chairs. And then Google says, well, people who look at chairs also want to know, how to sit correctly with your posture, and does it matter if you have a short chair and a high desk, and all these other, you know, they're probably really bad examples, but you know, these are questions that Google wants you to answer to show that you are an authority on the subject and that you cover the topic in full. And it's really difficult to do that from a standing start. So it's really difficult to think of, you know, chairs, for example, and uncover what all those questions are or could be, or even if you could, how do you know that they are what Google want you to cover? So by doing this, we're kind of reverse engineering Google's own system and looking at what they want you to cover, which kind of leads me on to my next part, which is the third reason why this is good. And that's, these questions typically aren't in the traditional keyword research tools databases. So for example, we recently found 650 questions all about cleaning, like cleaning a specific product, which kind of blows my mind, because I didn't realize there were 650 questions that you could answer around how you clean this specific thing. And I thought, well, all right, well, what if I put this into Ahrefs? What will this show? And I put it in, and Ahrefs only had 60 of those questions in the database. So, you know, over 500 of those questions, they didn't even have in the database. They couldn't display it in their results, which is a massive benefit for us, because most traditional SEOs or most traditional affiliate owners, they use these tools for keyword research. So if you were able to uncover these questions that aren't available to people who do their research in these tools, and you're able to answer them in a concise way that, you know, Google want you to answer them, you've got a massive advantage over, it's just a massive advantage.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess one point to clarify, I guess, and one point, another question for you. So I guess the point to clarify, when we say about 80% chance of getting the featured snippet, is that, you know, if we were to Google all of those questions, then we would find that 80% of the time that question, you know, the question is the featured, the answer to the question is the featured snippet. So
yes. Yeah. Yeah, and by adding all these questions to either to existing pages or creating new pages with multiple questions, you're actually making that page available for multiple featured snippets.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do we care if these questions that we are putting into our content, you know, are zero, you know, according to Ahrefs, are zero volume?
Yeah, well, we don't actually know if they're zero volume or not, because Ahrefs or SEMrush actually don't have them in the database. But in all honesty, no, we that's not really a factor for this. This isn't I'm looking for a really high search volume term with low difficulty. What we're trying to demonstrate to Google here is that we are answering all of the questions that they feel is relevant or hyper-relevant to this specific topic. And anybody who's searching for them, you know, we have a direct answer for it. Plus, you know, each answer isn't literally just a 50-word reply or a 50-word answer. We go into a little bit more depth. Each one's like, when we've been testing this, is 150 to 200 words in terms of answering each question. So we also add in lots of content around long tail keywords about the topic too. So even though the main question may not have search volume, answering the question and all the long tail associated keywords probably do.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's just just making it clear that, you know, we're absolutely topically relevant. You know, we're basically reverse engineering Google's own technology to you know, tell us what they want and what they expect in terms of the topical relevance. So if we include that, the idea is that they're going to rank us for all sorts of stuff on that page. So, I mean, you know, what results have you seen?
Well, before we get into that, I was just going to say, think about it like this way. It's great for creating almost like mini silos. So, for example, you've got a best of article on a specific topic and you don't have much supporting content around that. How's Google going to look at that site versus a site that has a best of on the same topic, but then also has, you know, five supporting pieces of content that each answer five questions that Google thinks are hyper relevant? Like, they're just going to think, well, this site is much more of an authority because they cover all these fringe topics as well. So it's really good for that. It's good for pulling out what content do you already have. Can we create some additional content for that page? Or can we also go away and create this this brand new standalone content that just shows to Google and displays to Google that you are, you know, you kind of know what you're talking about in this field, you're covering these questions, and you've got topical relevance there.
So when you're building out this cluster of associated questions and content, you know, how are we structuring those questions? Are we just doing one question that answers one question, or are we answering multiple questions? And they're like, how should we look to structure this kind of cluster and the content within it?
Yeah, so it's a good, really good question. So for existing content, we're literally just adding question and answers. And then for standalone content, there's typically a main question, which is usually the title of the article. So for example, it could be what food can vegans eat? And then within that piece of content, there'll be sub questions then. So can vegans eat cheese? Can vegans eat meat? That kind of thing. So it's structured that way, where you have a seed keyword or a main keyword or a main question, and then it's filled out below with all of the supporting questions. And again, we run the same process because we run that main question through the same method to uncover what the questions are Google thinks you need to be covering to answer that question in full.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, so you did some testing on your own site, and you know, we started to work with some customers on it. So, what have you seen from kind of trying to implement some of this?
Yeah, so there's two things to talk about here, which I think are important. The first one is just to mention that when we do this, we add FAQ schema markup. So that's done on the back end, and that's important for two reasons. And I've talked about this in the last couple of podcasts, in that I'm super bullish on schema in general, because I think the easier you can make it to present Google with, this is what the data on my web page is about, in a format that a machine can understand, the better. So it's important to think that we do that, and in doing that, any pages that are already on page one, usually you have to be on page one to activate this, but by adding schema markup, you also enable the little FAQ box to appear below your result in the SERP. And it just gives you more real estate space. It makes you more prominent. And I've actually seen some of this in the results, which we'll come on to next. So what I've done on my own site is I took the top 20 pages. So I went through analytics, looked at what my top 20 pages were by organic traffic, and I added 60 questions, or just over 63 questions, to those pages. I added the FAQ schema markup, which is obviously done on the back end. And this was added just over 2 weeks ago. So the test is still quite new in terms of adding stuff to new sites here. But it's really cool because in Search Console, we can actually track what impact this is having, especially on the FAQ schema, on the FAQ schema stuff. So in there, in Search Console, you can go in and you can click on search appearance, and you can click on FAQ rich data or rich markup. I can't remember what it's called in there, but you can actually see what clicks, impressions, average position, click-through rate that's driving for you on what pages and queries. So as soon as we did this, and as soon as I added the FAQ schema, I went into Search Console after a couple of days and I could see it in there. I could see the graph trending up in terms of impressions, clicks. Now, that in itself didn't add a whole lot of traffic, because when you think about it, the site's already ranking typically for lots of these queries anyway. But what's interesting to point out is the click-through rate. So when you check those pages in Search Console without the FAQ schema, so just from web, the click-through rate I was getting was around 2.3%. But when I look at the same pages just from the FAQ schema, it's 4%. So it's almost twice, people are almost twice as likely to click on those FAQ snippets in the search results rather than just click on your result. And that kind of makes sense, because if they've typed in a specific question and you don't have the schema on there, and they just see, you know, if they're searching for can vegans eat dairy products, and you have that question added to a page all about what can vegans eat, there's a higher chance they'll click on your result if they can see in the SERP the FAQ when you've actually got that question answered on the page. So it makes sense that's there. Traffic has started to trend up slightly on the site as a whole in terms of pages. It's too early. I mean, it's only been a couple of weeks to tell if it's just from the FAQs, but I haven't really done anything else to the site apart from that. So, you know, it's a good sign. The other thing that this has done, which has almost been a byproduct, is increase my RPM across the site. So the site's with Mediavine, and by adding this additional content, just I didn't even mean for this to happen, but the content's now longer, which means there's more ad spots in there, and my RPM's gone up. So my RPM has increased. I'm sharing some data with you, Mark. It's gone up almost $10 since I've done this experiment, which is crazy. So that's some of the early tests that we've seen of adding it to existing sites. But we've also now been doing the same methodology and adding standalone content. So I built a brand new website. It's on an expired domain, and all I'm doing is adding this type of content to it. Doesn't have any other type of content. It's all question-based content. And that's taken off really quick, like extremely quick. And I know there are loads of other factors in terms of, you know, working with expired domains, and some take off quicker than others. But because this is all long-tail question-based keywords, it just seems that Google likes it quicker. It's a good basis, I think, for building a good foundation for building relevance around the topic. Like, I'll go back afterwards and add the main articles that I would normally add to the site, but this is a great way of saying to Google, hey, look, I'm starting to become an expert on this topic because I've now answered 300 questions that I know you are expecting people to ask when they search for this topic.
Yeah. Cool. All makes sense. So we just launched a service, right? Offering a niche website builders, offering to do this kind of thing for existing sites, existing posts, as well as kind of new posts and new sites, and creating new clusters and silos and things like that. So how does that work as a service? What can people expect if they come to us and order?
Yeah. So there are two aspects of the service, two ways that it works. Like you mentioned, one is updating existing content and one is adding new content. Now, we don't expect you to know which one you want or need before you order. So when you order, we'll have an onboarding call. You would have already sent over your site, your URL, and we would have done some research around what we think would be best for your site, whether that would be to update your existing content or to look at adding new standalone supporting content. So it's on a case-by-case basis, but essentially we'll help you understand what we think your site needs. And then we'll go away and we will plan that out for you. So if it's updating your existing content, we'll go away and we'll have a look at what subtopics and sub-questions we think we need to add to these pages. If it's for supporting content, we'll plan out all of the questions that we can find, tell you, you know, this is to cover these questions in the manner that we think need to be covered, then it's X amount of words of content. And then you basically tell us, okay, I want to do this. I don't want to do that. However you want to play it with your own site then. But essentially you don't have to do any of the thinking. We'll do all of the analysis for you. We'll do all of the research for you. And then we'll just present back to you an FAQ plan on what we think would work best for you.
Awesome. That sounds good. I don't think I have any more questions on that. Have I, is there anything we've missed that we need to talk about?
Well, the other thing I think is just, I forgot to mention that, is that we'll also add in the FAQ schema markup for you as well. So you don't have to worry about, that. we don't use any plugins to generate the schema. It's actually, we generate it ourselves. And then we do use a plugin to insert it, but it's a script plugin to allow us to insert the schema directly into the head of each page. So there's no additional bloat in terms of, like, you know, you need to have a Rank Math premium plugin to activate their FAQ box or anything like that. We handle all of that stuff for you. Essentially, we just take away the headache for you. You know, it's a good service and you know, it's something that you want to do, but you don't know how to do it yourself. And we'll just take away all the headaches.
Yeah. I mean, for me, with my own stuff, it's like the stuff that I know that I should do all the time. I know I should have more questions here, and I should have more schema in general. And you just kind of, it's kind of those things that always, it's not very glamorous. It's a bit further down on the list, but you know, you should be doing it. You know, you'll benefit from that. So, yeah, I'm really excited about offering this out and seeing kind of our clients getting some results from it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. The feedback we've got from clients we've tested this with so far has been great. So I'm really excited to launch it as an actual service and take it out of beta mode and unleash it onto the world. I've not seen anything like this. I've not seen a service like this, and I've not seen research approached in this way. I mean, when we first stumbled upon this, I searched for days looking for tools to help us do this. At the moment, it's a super manual process. You know, doing all this research, uncovering all these questions, creating the content briefs is really manual. And there's no tool out there, which leads me to believe that nobody's really approaching their question-based content from this angle. So, you know, I don't want to say we're the first to do this, but I can't find any examples of other people doing it.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, I think it's not kind of new that people are using the People Also Ask box to kind of to find opportunities and to find questions. I guess that's definitely something that's been around, but as a service and in the way that we're talking about it, it's probably different. But I mean, that's what we do. That's what we do at Niche Website Builders, right? I mean, the way that we research keywords for content clients, like, is just different. You don't really see it. The way that we do it, we don't really reveal what we do unless you're a client. But we, you know, we do it in a different way to what you would traditionally see. We just kind of, and it's stuff that we've tested, we know works. So yeah, we've got more stuff planned down the road in terms of like bolt-ons to our existing services. But, you know, we're running them all, we're testing them all ourselves at the moment. It's really exciting to actually just be quite experimental in trying out some of these things. So you can definitely expect more down the road once we've kind of tested them, proven them, and we know they work, and looking forward to, like, yeah, being a bit different, I guess, to other services in that, you know, we're trying this stuff out, we know it works, and now you know, pretty much our clients will be some of the only people doing that kind of stuff out there.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the difference, is just making ourselves different, right? Like, we, at the heart of it, we're a content and link building agency, but we're so much more than that. I mean, it's the strategy, it's the formatting, the uploading, like, it's the whole package that comes with it. And it's the continual testing of different ideas and methodologies that we test ourselves before we, you know, before we take it live elsewhere.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for having the chat today. It's been good. Looking forward to the launch. But it's live now, right? So we can, if you go to the Niche Website Builders website, you'll be able to pick up the service there. And if you've got any questions, just hit us up in the chat box on the site, or drop us an email at team@nichewebsite.builders. And Adam and I will pick that up. And I'm happy to jump on a call if you need to.
Awesome. Thanks, Mark.
All right. Speak soon. Thanks. Thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. If you're listening to the podcast version of this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please rate and review, as this will allow us to grow our audience and create more shows like this one. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and click on the bell to be the first to know about any new episodes that we release. Until the next episode, goodbye.